T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
106.3 WORD, 101.5 if you're in Metro Anderson area. You're listening to Upstate Outdoors. The second hour is on tap. We got Chris Wells, the bass chaplain, sitting in Boat Girl seat.
Honored.
We actually had to lower it a little bit. Normally we got her raised way up.
I like to have my feet kind of on the floor and at least kind of close to the floor. And it was high. It was pretty high for
Well, the microphones only go.
Yeah, so I got you.
Like that. But anyway, Chris doing a great job, and he's got plenty of boat raffle tickets, right?
Oh, we got plenty of tickets left. We're just around we're probably about halfway where our goal is,
yeah.
And
there's always a push there toward
there
the,
is. There's
the
a
last.
Big push at the end, but you know, you can get those tickets anytime you want to. We'll take them up until about 15 minutes before we're going to draw that sucker out. We'll take your boat ticket. You can even come and buy it in person over at Cabela's over there if you want to.
That's awesome. And I remember last year it was like, we're in Bass Pro Shop in Charlotte, and it was like, was it the same day or was it the night before?
What happened the night before, we were at Bass Pro Shop, and you know, we do everything 100% legal, of course, we mm-hmm. do. And we got over there, and before we started talking about selling raffle, we said, well, somebody probably needs to check the North Carolina raffle laws. And
yeah.
It turns out
we couldn't do that
with the South Carolina raffle. So we had to move over to Cabela's, and Eric Winter called over here to old JD over here, and we got he said, yeah, we'd love to have you. And so he moved us over here to Cabela's.
Yeah, good
and
guy.
Out real well.
Good guy. So. Well, let's see. Last hour, we were talking with Chris, and we covered a lot of stuff about Major League Fishing, the Bass Pro Tour, some Bass Elite stuff, this new stuff, so a lot of bass fishing stuff. We also talked about hunting in the rut, and then we this hour, after Chris brings us the Roadkill Cafe, and I'm really looking forward to that, we're going to talk a little bit about the lockdown, which is – I won't say it's a phase of the rut. It's kind of the same thing, but we might answer some questions for some folks about why they're not seeing the number of deer that they saw a week or so ago. And then we're going to talk with Glenn Chapelier. That's Chris's counterpart with FLW. Y'all not going to be competing.
No, we're not competing. You know, and let me tell you what's really cool about Glenn is a lot of people know Glenn played football for Clemson University. He was a defensive back on not the team that won the national championship in 81, but the next year he was on the defending champion team. And so we can ask him about that too. So, no, there's no bad blood between me and Glenn. Love him to death, man. He's a great speaker.
Need all the help I can get, huh?
That's right.
And then we will wrap up today's show with our parting shot about a fence climbing alligator. But first,
well, this is Chris Wells, the bass chaplain. I don't know how you cook, but let me tell you, when I cook, it's always a pinch of this, and I'm just going to throw in a dash of that. And it's really kind of tough to tell people about how to do that.
I do the same thing.
Man, I tell you, you just kind of cook by feel.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of feel, taste.
Use the force.
That's right. Exactly right. That's it. So, but you can't really do that when you're telling somebody. So I'm going to read my venison chili recipe. Now, one of the big debates about chili is, do you put beans in your chili or don't you? Now, in Texas, that's a big no-no. That's where I went to seminary. But Texas gets a lot of things wrong. I know I love Texas to death, but, you know, when they talk about barbecue, they're talking about just doing something on the grill. They just have a lot of different terminology. I like to put beans in my chili.
Okay.
So we're going to talk to you. So the prep time for this is going to take you about 15 minutes. It's an hour and 15 minutes to cook it for a total time of 1 hour and 30 minutes. But we're going to start with my venison chili with 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 onions chopped up, 1 green pepper finely chopped, 1/4 chili powder, 2 tablespoons of cumin, 1 tablespoon of coriander, 1 tablespoon of dried oregano, 2 teaspoons of dried thyme, 2 teaspoons of chipotle chili powder, 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne, that's important, salt and freshly ground black pepper, 8 cloves of garlic, 2 pounds of ground venison, which has been tough to come by at my house this year. I'm
telling
you.
Amen, brother.
That's it. We're going to do two cans of kidney beans drained and rinsed, a 10-ounce can of fire-roasted diced tomatoes with green chilies undrained, about 28 ounces of tomato puree, and we're going to end that sucker up with shredded cheese and sour cream to your liking. That's kind of optional.
Yep.
I like sour cream, but this is what you're going to do, Philip. This is, you're going to heat it in oil, large stock in a large pot or Dutch oven, medium heat until shimmering. Shimmering is kind of a nebulous term, but you
about
know,
6 minutes.
Everybody knows kind of, you know, it just starts kind of vibrating good. Yep. You're going to add onions and bell pepper, chili pepper, the cumin, the coriander, the oregano, the thyme, the cayenne pepper, a half teaspoon of salt, and a quarter teaspoon of pepper. Cook until the vegetables have softened 7 to 10 minutes. And number two, we're going to stir in the garlic until fragrant, about 30 seconds. Add venison and cook, breaking up the clumps with a spoon until the venison is no longer pink, about 5 minutes. And then we're going to stir in the kidney beans, the tomatoes, and tomato puree. Bring to a simmer, cover it, and cook it for 30 minutes, okay? Then we're going to remove that lid, continue to simmer for 30 minutes longer, season to taste with salt and pepper, serve with preferred toppings, including cheese and sour cream. And here's the big thing with me. I like to serve my chili a day later. I like to put it in the refrigerator for a day and then come back up and warm it up. It is chili is always better the second day. That's just my opinion.
Wow.
And that's my roadkill cafe recipe tip for today.
That is interesting. So you like it? I mean, you eat it the first day.
I'll eat it the first day, but it's always better the second day.
Once the ingredients
gets to sit and gets to marinate in there really good. Chili is, for me, is always better when you do it on the second day.
So what if instead of cooking it that 30 minutes, what if you put it in a crock pot and let it go all day?
Crock pot is always a good option. I've never been a big crock pot. My wife loves a crock pot. I've never been able to really figure it out how long I need to do it. I usually end up burning stuff and not putting enough, you know, in. But I love to just let it sit and then bring it back out the second day. It's always better for me. That's just my tip.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I like, you know, gosh, I think the last time we had a chili cook-off here at the station, I won with Oh My Dear chili.
Ooh. Sounds good. Oh, my dear.
Oh, my dear.
I just did a judging contest down in Kentucky for a church. They had a big chili cook-off, and I volunteered to sample all of them to be able to do it.
How'd that go?
It was good. Yeah. It was good. It wasn't good later.
I was going to say, how'd that go next day?
It was good. It was good going down. Wasn't good coming out.
Yeah. So that's a, hey, Pastor, you try my chili.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That's exactly how it was.
Did I get it hot enough for you? Ooh. Now, I do like to make mine kind of hot. I'll use
Hot is always good. But, you know, you can add different stuff. And there are some people that get crazy with sauces. I've got a buddy of mine, and he loves, you know, if you want to give him something for a present, you always give him some kind of nuclear hot sauce or something like that. There's always those kind of guys. And you have to watch him, though, because he'll sneak it in on you, and you're pretty much be blistered.
Yeah. All right. Well, sounds good. Well, we're going to try to help you out, the listener. If you're having the same trouble that Chris and I are having with finding venison, we're going to come back after the break and talk about how to hunt the lockdown. That's probably about where we are right now. Got some tips from the bone collector. So stay with us, 106.3 WORD in Metro Anderson, 101.5. Don't forget y'all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
All righty, welcome back, Upstate Outdoors. We've been talking bass fishing, deer hunting today. We're going to jump back on deer hunting today.
Yeah.
Chris, what's the lockdown phase? Because you're a pastor, and you'll say it more. You'll say it better than I would say it.
The lockdown phase to me is when Chris is absolutely seeing none of the deer that he wants to see.
Yeah.
So that's what the time during the rut when I see none of the deer that I want to see because he is locked down with a doe, and he is not going anywhere.
Here is the way Charles Ruth from DNR, you know, the deer coordinator for state, explained it to me. He said, it's like the prom, okay? Before the prom, you know, if you're out and about, you see all these couples, you know, and they're there. And I'm talking about, you know, on before, you know,
right.
Asking out to the prom, go to the prom with me, chasing around. Hey, Sally, you want to go to the prom? And so, and the girls are all, you know, fronting and maxing. And then when the prom starts, when they're inside the building dancing, okay, and that's as far as he would go with that analogy.
Right.
Dancing, and you don't see them out. They're
that's
not on the street. You don't see them. They're at the prom.
They're at the prom. They're locked down.
So the lockdown is basically that. And got this article from Bone Collector talking about the phases of, you know, the rut is the pre-rut, and that's a time, really, I believe the pre-rut starts when the velvet comes off.
Yeah.
That's the pre-rut because that's when the testosterone starts building up.
That's rubbing. When everybody breaks away. We're not hanging out with each other anymore. We're going. Every buck for himself.
Yeah, yeah. The bachelor groups break up. And then you got that seeking, chasing phase, and that could be included in a pre-rut. But there's a little bit of difference in that. And it's a little more meaning to it, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're, I don't know, getting limbered up, I guess. The does really maybe they're looking for that one or two that might come in early. But then the peak of the rut, the lockdown phase happens. And that is entirely different. Those does that would run and blow from a buck that scared him to death.
They're receptive now.
Then she's receptive. Yeah. Thank you. She's receptive, and it's breeding time. And they spend their time, and a lot of times the two of them are going to kind of stay in thick cover and kind of do their business. And I don't know that much about deer biology, and I really don't want to stretch into that, but, you know, I would think 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I don't know, but it seems to me like it lasts for about 2 weeks. So maybe it's the honeymoon or something.
That's right, yeah.
I don't know.
Honeymoon would probably be a good description.
Maybe it's the honeymoon, but that it does make it tough. And then, of course, then you got the post-rut, and that's when most of the does have been bred, but there's likely a few that aren't, so they're kind of looking around and, you know, whatever. So they actually got some tips about hunting the lockdown, and number one is check your trail cameras. Now, I do that anyway, once a week. But I basically decide where I'm going to hunt. I go around, and I have bait stations, and I usually have trail cameras on that. And the trail cameras, the bad thing about it during the rut is trail cameras not going to show you what's going on outside of the view of that camera.
That's right.
Okay. I might see whoever cruises through because usually they're going to take a bite, but there could be all kind of activity going on that spot because a lot of places that I bait's like already on a food plot. So I may not see everybody that's there, but I still go by that.
Right, yeah.
And if you got a trail camera that's got nothing on it, that's probably not where you want to be.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But even if you see that big boy at night, even in that area, might be worth hunting.
Yeah. I'm going to go. If I see him, I'm going there.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Now the other thing and I don't do this. I put my stands up or I've got my stands from year to year and they stay there. You know, I go around and check the straps and stuff like that. And I'm going to hunt the same place, but the deer pattern you.
That's
especially
right.
If you've blown them going in or coming out, you don't even have to shoot at one. If they know you're there, if a couple of them winded you or you're like, well, it's dark, I'm getting down, I don't really care what's standing out there, it's time, I got to go eat, you know, then they know you're there. They know they're being hunted. So moving your stand around, and a lot of times if you – I always see this when I'm tracking a deer. Hadn't had to do it yet this year, but when I'm tracking a deer, I'm like, where'd this big trail come from?
Yeah.
It's 50 yards from my stand, around behind my stand. That's because they're
right.
avoiding me.
That's exactly right. And, you know, patterning deer are very, very fun, but they definitely pattern you. That's where, you know, at a bow hunter, I'm moving my stands a lot. I'm changing, you know, direction and changing, you know, I want to have different stands for
you. Use climbing stands a lot?
I do use a lot of climbing stands. I still climb a lot. I use a lot of lock-ons. But,
yeah.
You know, I've got some stationary stands. One of the things, I tell you, you talk about deer being in the field or in your thing when you're climbing down to leave.
Yeah.
A lot of times I will play a coyote call.
Yeah.
I just play just to run them out of the field, just to get them out, just to get them going, just to, you know, to do that and, you know, disperse them. And
I think that's important. I do something similar to that. I throw my water bottle out of the stand.
Yeah, that's always
I've done
a good thing.
Boom. just throw it out there, and they're spooked from something, but they don't know
it's
me.
I don't know what it is. That's right.
A lot of times what I'll do when there's two of us is I'll go, and it's me and Boat Girl, I'll go bust her out. She'll text me, and she goes, I still got some out here. And I'm like, that's fine.
You walk in and you're more bumping them than you are.
I come get her on the four wheeler.
Right, that's a good idea.
I'll drive right down the four wheeler because for them the four wheeler to my deer means ice cream truck.
Right. Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Because when they hear that four wheeler, you know, at the end of the day, it means ice cream man. He's coming to refill them stations. So I think they don't get so spooked about that. But the last thing they've got in here is don't be afraid to call aggressively.
Mm.
Do you go?
I do more calling when I'm hunting Kentucky. I get a chance to opportunity to hunt Kentucky just about every year, and in Kentucky, you blow a grunt call, get ready. It's the first time I've seen a buck come in on me on a rope. Now in South Carolina, it's kind of hit or miss.
I agree with you 100%. I blew a call this morning, and I don't think it had any effect. But I have back when I had a lot of clear cuts and it was wide open area.
Right.
And I would blow a call. I was surprised at how many times, you know, a few minutes later, I would see that shine on that antler or that head pop up or something because he's looking around. But I was on a tower stand and I'm hunting everything all around me.
I've had a lot of success in South Carolina with doe bleats more than I have the grunt call.
Yeah.
And so
you hit
the can, just let the doe bleat go. And
I've done that too, like I said, hunting in the clear cut and stuff like that, and I think it's better. But I tell you, I hate a lot of my stands are ambush stands if they're at that point, and if I'm calling or bleating or whatever, they're going to come to me. And I really don't want that. I don't want them on me that close.
I want them close just so I can sling an arrow.
Well, obviously. See, if you're slinging arrows. But
I'm slinging an arrow.
I want my deer to come out at about 100 yards.
Yeah.
Just 180 yards, something like that.
Your rifle hunting's a little different strategy.
Yeah, I don't want them. It makes me nervous. Makes me nervous when they get right on top of me.
Me too, but there's nothing in my life I've found that tears me up more than seeing a deer come out at 30 yards.
Yeah. So, yeah, right there. I hate it. I hate it because I always get blown. You know, I'll bow hunt early season as soon as it's, you know, legal to change over. I will. But, God, I'm so glad.
I'll tell you, there's nothing I found this morning. Say, when he comes in and you can do 1,000 things right and one thing wrong and mess that whole thing up.
Yep, so. And that's it. And I said the last thing. Last thing they say there is when you see a deer, be ready. They said, especially when you see a doe, and she's jumpy, okay? I mean, that should be deer hunting 101. But, it, you know, if you see, I saw three does, didn't even step in the corn at all. They just, they move by quickly.
Well, I love it when a doe comes through the corn pile because I know she's running away.
I love when they come in and they're sitting there and all of a sudden they turn around and look behind them and then they're gone.
That's good. That's a good thing.
I go ahead and get my gun up.
I did. I had a doe one time come through and, the biggest buck I've ever seen in my life, you know, follow her, and she's just turning and looking, and that's what you want to see. That's what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a similar experience probably 4 or 5 years ago when there was three does, and they were all three of them were looking behind them, and, you know, they were rushing, like whispering to each other, like, I can't believe that creep's on our tail again. And I'm like, all right, I'm getting ready. And all of a sudden, one of them just stopped, and she turned around. I don't know how she did, but she must have caught a whiff. She turned around. She looked up in the tree dead at me. And I was like, keep going, honey. Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that blow. The blow
and
is
she
the worst
stood there
thing
and, in the world. And she started doing the head weave. And I'm like, no, don't do that. And then she started stomping. And I said, you make the noise, you die.
That's right. You got to go.
And I shot her right between the eyes.
You got to go. You got to go. You blow, you got to go.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That's right. I normally don't, and that's been a while back, but I was like, if you're going to give me away and ruin my buck, I'm taking
that's
you
right.
home.
Yep. That's the one you want to get out of the herd. Right?
Yeah, the smart does. I want the dumb bucks.
Yeah.
So well, let's go to our break because we got Glenn Chaplier waiting in the wings and looking forward to talking to him.
That's going to be fun.
Yep. So stay with us. 106.3 WRD Upstate Outdoors. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, Upstate Outdoors. If you are a bass fishing fan, then we got the two chaplains for you here from basically any kind of professional major league fishing you want to talk about. We got you covered here because we got Glenn Chaplier, FLW angler and chaplain. Glenn, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey guys, glad to be on the show with you.
What's up, Glenn?
Oh, just grilling a little bit for my afternoon football games.
Afternoon football games. That's what I told everybody. A lot of people don't know this. I said Glenn Chaplier not only pulls for the national champions, he actually played for the Clemson Tigers, man. Tell us about that, Glenn.
Yeah, I was there, went to junior college first in North Carolina and then transferred into Clemson, walked on in 1982. They just won the national championship. Claim to fame is I was on the team with the Fridge. Man, he was a big old football player.
Good night. That individual could move. You didn't think a guy that big could move that fast. He was an amazing man. Good night. Something else. So you've been deer hunting. What's the deer hunting situation? We've been talking about – Philip and I have been talking about deer hunting on the air, and I do a lot better at talking about deer hunting, like my fishing, than I do actually deer hunting. But what's the story? You gotten a big one yet?
We're still after them. The ruts are kicking in where we hunt. For your fishermen guys, you probably know where Lake West Point is in Georgia, LaGrange. We're hunting down in that area. And so we've got bucks chasing does and all day yesterday. And so it's time to be in the woods.
Well, Glenn, we were talking a little bit earlier. We were covering again the announcement about Major League Fishing acquiring FLW, and you are the first angler that I've had the opportunity to speak with about that. I know it's early on, but what's your take on being part of Major League Fishing now?
I'm really excited about it. I've been on the tour since 1997, so 22 years, and seen a lot of changes, a lot of people come and go. And it just grows our sport, gives us more opportunities. And so I'm excited for it, and it's only going to get better.
Cool deal. Glenn, I was telling Philip back in the day, you had the greatest line I've ever heard. We were going to practice. That's back when you could get practice help. I believe it was probably for an Everstart tournament or something. We were down at Santee, and we were eating at a Shoney's, and it was pouring down rain that day. It was just pouring down cats and dogs. And a lady, we were paying the bill, and the lady said, y'all aren't going out there in this mess. And, Glenn, you had the greatest line. I don't know if you remember this night. You said, that's my job, ma'am. And I always remember that. That was a pretty cool deal, man. That was a sweet deal that day. That was pretty cool. You had a good tournament that day. I remember you, I think you on the first day you zeroed, and the second day you had five that weighed like 29 pounds, man, 29 pounds and made the cut. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was a crazy day. Front was blowing in, and fish were set up the way I like to catch them, spinnerbait, shallow, and lily pads. And it was a great tournament. Then the front blew on out, and I stuck with the spinnerbait during high pressure, and then I didn't make adjustments and didn't do very good the second day. Love Santee Cooper, great place to fish.
Man, I tell you, that was a big sack that day. I remember that. That was pretty cool.
Well, Glenn, with Major League Fishing and FLW, and I was telling Chris, he was like, I didn't even know about it. There was an announcement about the National Professional Fishing League is going to start up in 2021. It seems like if you're a pro bass fisherman and you're looking for a tournament, you don't have to look very far. What's that doing for the sport and for these fisheries?
What I like about it is it gives people opportunities. There's the working man that, you know, loves to fish, and finally there's opportunities if you only have limited vacation time to be away. What I like about it also, so many young people are coming out of high school and college fishing now, and gives them more opportunities. That's what I really like about it. It grows the sport. It helps everybody. You sell more boats, you sell more motors, you sell more fishing lures, and it gives a person a chance to say, I think I can do it. I want to try. And so it's encouraging, growing the sport, and I'm looking forward to it.
And apparently with the and I know you're fishing the tour, but a lot of these BFL guys who are, you know, the weekend guys, one of the first announcements that was made was they're cutting the entry fees there and making it a whole lot more affordable for the weekend guys to get involved now.
Yeah, the whole goal is, of course, when you grow the sport, it helps everybody. It increases entry fees. I mean, payback. Entry fees are going down some of the levels, and you have more tournaments. And so people are I think, excited about it from what I've heard.
Cool. Hey, Glenn, you got to – let's switch gears here on you. You've got a full-time ministry, and, of course, you minister to the pros on the FLW Tour. Tell us about what you got going on ministry-wise. What's going on with you know, Sportsman's Outreach?
So this time of the year, sort of my, what I call my off season, we fish and do boat shows and seminars and stuff. January to July, wide open, and sportsman's banquets. So this time of year, I really like it because it allows me to plug back in local ministry. I said a while ago I was had some ribs on the smoker. I've got 10 high school boys coming from the local children's home to eat lunch with me and watch football. And so what I like about this time of the year for me, I can plug back in local ministry. So I have kids over every weekend, cook for them, let them hang out at the house. I give them more food than they eat. Then also I'm a police chaplain with the Cobb County Police Department.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Tell us about your work with police officers.
Yeah, I've been a chaplain since 2005, and all the chaplains in Cobb County Police Department are all volunteers, which is the way I like it. And it gives us an opportunity to be with the officers, encourage them. I like to cook meals for them and hang out with them. You know, a lot of guys at one time, I'm feeding the SWAT team in 2 weeks. And those boys can eat, let me tell you. 30 men on that team. And so, and then we also work with a local ministry, Seven Bridges in downtown Atlanta, which is a street ministry, women's shelter. So this time of year, I can really plug back into my local church, local ministry, because I know what's coming. Wild game banquets are coming. Boat right. shows are coming. You know, when we leave for a tournament, we're looking at 8, 9, 10, 11 day trip.
Yeah.
So it's not just, did you fish this Saturday? I said, no, if I left, I'm gone 10 days.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot.
And Chris and I were talking, Glenn, about, you know, used to be in especially with the pro guys, they would leave, like you said, 8, 9, 10 days. And it's, you know, and a lot of them still, they room together or whatever. But now a lot of the guys are taking their families and their wives along with them. And that's you guys have got like a caravan type church going around from site to site.
When we began, my children were all young, and so they went everywhere with us. And we homeschooled to about eighth grade because then I couldn't do the math. That's not going to work for us. And so there's still a lot of young families that do that. They travel, they homeschool, they do it at the hotel, they do homeschool at the campground, and they'll have motor homes, and they'll go to like the next place and leave it and fly home for a couple of days or drive home. And so for the younger angler that doesn't want to be away from his family, it's a great option.
And I tell you what, in one of the byproducts of that we're seeing, and I'm saying that because one of my good friends and frequent guests on the show, Marty Robinson, he's kind of in the same thing where he's taking his kids, you know, with him and his wife. And his kids are hammers. They're better fishermen than Marty's probably ever going to be. Of course, I think is probably as good as Marty is, and he's the pro. So, you know, with the opportunity of these kids – to grow up bass fishing and then get into high school and start fishing, man, think about the experience levels they're going to have when they're, you know, just youngsters.
What's funny is you know, a lot of guys start on the FLW tour and then get opportunities to go to other tours. And I keep thinking, okay, all these good guys are sort of graduating to something else to fish. It's going to get easier. Well, these young guys coming in, they've been in middle school fishing, high school fishing, college fishing, and they hit the tour and they're good.
Yeah, and if you're not up on your electronic games, that's not going to get any easier, because these kids that have had computers in their hands since they've been old enough to walk, they're like, oh, you just push this button and beep, beep, beep. Oh, there's the fish right over there.
Yeah, if you don't, that's a whole nother show to talk about electronics. I mean, my electronics cost more than my laptop and my television's in my house.
That's right. Yeah, they're expensive.
And so you better know your electronics.
And Chris says, well, you know, I need to work on my electronics. I just fish shallow water so I can see. You know, I'm watching, looking for fish breaking. And so I throw a topwater lure out there.
That's right. That's me. I'm old school.
Old school, yes.
that's why I'm the chaplain and not on the tour.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's exactly right.
You know what's funny is back in 96, 97, Chris and Al Odom, Fishers of Men, we all started about the same time. So it's exciting to see Chris continuing ministry. It's exciting to see what Al Odom continues to do with Fishers of Men and what we're still doing with Sportsman's Outreach. So it's sort of a neat little reunion here, a little fact for your listeners that keep up with outdoor ministry. We were the first ones to do it back in 94, where I live in Cobb County, Georgia. And for years, I would teach at conferences and seminars how to do a sportsman's banquet, helping churches reach outdoorsmen, because men's ministry is hard. And you've got to do some creative things to reach men. And so it's exciting that we've been on the road together, all of us ministering, helping churches reach Bubba is what I say.
Yeah, some of the same principles that I do today, you taught me back in the 90s, you know, when you first started doing game banquets. And I know we did one down in Sumter. You spoke four, and it was one of the first ones I ever had in South Carolina. And so it was a big deal. So it was really cool.
So, Glenn, final question before we let you go. Do you you conduct a lot of marriages on the road, or have you had to do that?
No, not on the road, because I wouldn't do it that flippant, if you want to say it.
Yeah.
If you ask me to marry you, we're going to have some counseling. We're going to, you know, check you out, because I want your marriage to work. Donna and I, my wife, we've been married 25 years. And so I've done about everything else, because on the road – so the people that come to our ministry events would be your angler, their family, spouse, children. Then you've got the FLW staff attends our outreach events. You've got sponsors. And so it's a big ministry opportunity there, because when we're going places, we're having 350, you know, people that you could potentially reach through your ministry at a tournament. So, that's what keeps us going.
Well, and the only reason I say that is because my co-host that Chris is filling in for today is my wife, Boat Girl. And Chris actually married us.
I did.
And when I told him, when I called him and told him, I said, and she's also, you know, she also is we call her Boat Girl because she is a boat mechanic. And he was like, oh, man, I'm so happy for you. That's great, great news. And I said, yep. I said, I'll do about anything to get my boat in the front of the line
that's
when it's broke.
That's what he said. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, my God.
Yep, so he did.
So, well, Glenn, we appreciate you being on the show with us. And, man, we just continue prayer for your ministry and also for success on the FLW tour. And, man, we just we'll keep following you. Good things keep coming from you.
All right, man. Appreciate your calls, and I'm going to get back to the grill and go Tigers.
Go Tigers. See
awesome.
You, man.
There we go. Go Tigers.
See you guys.
Yep. Well, there you go, man. He's
pretty cool.
He's got
pretty
a cool. lot of stuff going on with the Cobb County and the policeman's ministry. And
man, he does a lot of things. Glenn was one, like I said, was one of the pioneer guys that did a bunch of the outdoor events for men. So it's
awesome.
Really cool.
Awesome. We're going to go to our break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up today's show with the calendar of events and today's parting shot. If you don't like alligators, you're in for a treat. All right, Upstate Outdoors. We got calendar of events. Buckle up. Here we go. It's that time of year again. South Carolina Hunter Education classes being offered across the upstate. Let's see. We got two of them to mention here. If you got a kid that it needs to get his Hunter Ed course before you get his license, you're going to have that. Or if you need one, you can sit in with him. Kids are up to about any age can take it, but they're only taking the exam if they're over the age of 10. And let's see, next weekend, Saturday, November 16th, got one at Sharpshooters Gun Club and Range over on Rutherford Road in Greenville. That's from 8:30 to 4 p.m. And then November 23rd at the DNR office in Clemson, that'll be from 8 to 5 p.m. And, hey, here's a good one. Saturday, December 7th, the Clemson Bass Fishing Team's got their fall fundraising tournament. It's going to be at Green Pond Landing and Event Center. Everybody knows where that's at, but the address is 470 Green Pond Road in Anderson, South Carolina. And, hey, you can listen at 101.5 while you're fishing. And they got a $1,000 first place guaranteed. They got prizes for the highest finishing high school or college team. It's a $110 entry fee, including big fish. They're going to fish safe light to 3 p.m., blast off orders based on registration. They got a sign of rules and waiver prior to the blast off. If you want more information or pre-register, you can contact Luke McMinn at 828-606-7801 or L. McMinn at clemson.edu. You also hit him up the Clemson Bass Fishing page on Facebook. Pre-registered anglers will be eligible for discounted admissions to the banquet on Friday. And finally, on Saturday, December the 21st, at the Clinton House Plantation, they're going to have a tower shoot pheasant hunt. You ever done one of them?
I have not shot pheasants. My father-in-law shoots pheasants.
This is like throwing chickens out of the top of. Matter of fact, it is a lot like throwing chickens out of the top of. It's a lot of fun, though. You talking about a redneck good time, that's it. They're going to have two hunts, one morning and one afternoon, 150 pheasants for each hunt. Each hunt will be fielded by 30 shooters. Morning shoots 9:30 to 12, afternoon shoots 1 to 3. Cost is $225 per shooter. Light lunch will be served at noon for both of the hunts. You got to book them and pay for them in advance. If you want more information, contact Oscar McCurry, my buddy down there in Anderson at McCurry's Outboard Repair. He's at 864-225-8704. You can email him at mccurrysoutboard@bellsouth.net. And then finally, if you've got an event you would like for us to share with our listeners, you can contact us via email at upstateoutdoors@1063WORD. And that brings us to today's parting shot. All righty. Chris said he said he's grown up with alligators, and if you're in Jacksonville, Florida, you know that there are alligators there. But got this off Outdoors 360, and it's a video and story about an alligator. And that's a big one there. He's probably about an 8-9 footer.
That's a full grown one.
Scaling a fence. Now, it's not every day that an alligator climbs a fence and makes us wonder if it's starting to have more in common with its smaller reptile cousins. But this isn't the first time we've seen a gator make it over the fence either. Luckily, this gator seems to want to put his climbing to use for his country and not for an obstacle course. Christina Stewart, a Florida resident, didn't waste time when she noticed an alligator climbing the fence at a naval facility in Florida. She quickly started recording it and made its way to the other side of the fence at the Naval Air Station in Jacksonville. Maybe he was going to enlist for the Navy. But the alligator climbs the fence like a pro, but its dismount could use some work. It belly flopped on the ground when it made it over. And Florida rarely runs low on bizarre stories about its inhabitants. That's even truer with this strange story. There aren't any plans to remove the gator from the base as long as it doesn't become a nuisance.
That's right.
If you're new to Florida or haven't been here in years, when you see water, you just have to assume that an alligator could be in it. We have several on the base, and they don't respect our security measures. That's according to officials at the Naval Base. They wrote on their Facebook page, on a serious note, always be aware with small children and pets. Golfers, be aware and watch where you stick your hands. Do not approach them ever. And alligators don't just climb fences. That's according to the National Geographic. It's actually fairly common for them to climb trees.
Good night.
That's all I need is a bear to climb up in a tree while I'm hunting, or an alligator, right? Even without any special anatomic adaptations for gripping branches, crocodiles, alligators often make their way up trees, sometimes going as high as the crown and out on the larger limbs.
That is a bad deal right there.
That's sunning.
That is
right?
Bad news. Yeah. You don't want to have a tree encounter with an alligator.
Yep. So, well, Chris, we got just a couple of minutes before we have to get off the air and allow John and Chuck to get in here and salute the service. So thanks for being on the show with us.
Man, I had a blast.
I
appreciate Boat Girl letting me sit in today and take that spot.
Adjust that seat back up when you leave.
I will. I'll adjust that back. Make sure she'll be able to do that.
So, hey, before we go, one last time, folks want to get a raffle ticket for the boat raffle.
That would be www.chriswells.org, or they can contact me, 864-414-9453, and they can get it. We'll give you all the tickets you want, and we'll take them up until 15 minutes to 5 on December the 7th.
And that's on December the 7th. You're going to be right down the street here at the local Cabela's.
That's correct.
And giving that away.
That's right. Well, somebody's going to win a Nitro Z18 2019 model, fully loaded.
Take it home right then.
Take it home. Tandem axle trailer.
Still got a lot of fish mojo left on it,
too. Still a lot of fish mojo on it.
All right. Well, that's the end of our show today. Chris, thanks for being on the show. Also, thanks to Glenn Chapelier, FLW. And, folks, thanks for listening. God bless. Get outside. We will see you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.